Hi, this is Tom from the Happiness Quotient. Thank you for dropping by. You are one of my favorite listeners because if you're listening to this episode, you're hearing it before we changed our name to the Happiness Quotient. Just so you won't be surprised when you listen, you'll hear me talk about Baker Street with Tom Pollard. Believe me, you are in the right place. We've changed our name, but the excellence of the podcast just keeps getting better. Before we get to the episode, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe wherever you're listening, and I hope you'll visit my Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, and take a look at my YouTube page of the same name, where there are many Everest and music-related episodes, adventure-related podcast elements that can't be found here on the podcast itself. Thanks for being here. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave me a review, a rating, and share it with someone you care about. Now, on with the show. Welcome to Baker Street with Tom Pollard. I hope this finds you well and healthy. Thank you for taking time out of your precious day to visit. It means very much to me. Our listenership is growing. It's really exciting. From the feedback I've received, you've enjoyed my guests of late, and I'm committed to continuing to bring you more top-notch guests and some of the best content I can deliver. We're on a roll. This is episode 24 of season 2. I want to send my greetings and gratitude to my listeners in Ireland. In the last 5 episodes of Baker Street, I've had more listeners from Dublin, Ireland than any other city anywhere else in the world, including from the area where I live. Incredible. That's really, really exciting. We've been heard in 20 different countries over the course of just the last 5 episodes, more than 70 in total. Recently, Nepal, Tonga, Greece, Denmark, Uruguay. Just wonderful. I'm almost speechless, but I'm a pro at being able to find words when I'm happy and excited. I'm beyond honored. So how it happens is like this. Someone listens to Baker Street with Tom Pollard. They like it. They share it with their friends and family. They post it on their social media pages, email it, or tell their friends and family about it. And voila, we go around the world. So if you are interested or you like what you hear, please share it. Share it with friends and family on social media, anywhere that you wish. And if you want to learn more about me and Baker Street and introduce yourself to me, email me at tom.dharma.pollard, T-H-O-M, and Dharma is D-H-A-R-M-A. So tom.dharma.pollard@gmail.com, or visit my website at eyesopenproductions.com. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart. The music for today's episode was found on the Free Music Archive, and this is the Vivisectors. They're from Moscow, Russia, and if you want to find more of their music, go to thevivisectors.com, the, V-I-V-I-S-E-C, TORS.com. Baker Street's main mission is to bring you stories that inspire. Along the way, I've introduced you to guests who've made their intentions a reality by following the core path of their hearts. Musicians, comedians, mountain climbers, even Jungian analysts. How about that? And today, well, you could say that in every dark cloud, there is a silver lining. I'm talking about COVID and how it is impacting our economy. COVID, for some, has been a living hell, and a lot of lives have also been lost. For some, it creates nothing but amazing opportunities. And I'm going to welcome back today a guest who visited in April for my episode called Heroes of the Quarantine Culture. David Brancaccio, he's the host and senior editor of Marketplace Morning Report on public radio in the United States. And anyone who has a page dedicated to him in Wikipedia, must be somebody. David's here to talk all things economy with us today, wrapped inside a tasty combination of stories not only about model rockets, but s'mores. Yes, the perfect s'more is on tap for today. David is a journalist. He grew up in Maine. He's a TV and radio host, reporter, and a storyteller. His website is brancaccio.com. I better spell that for you. BRANCACCIO.com. How I met David was about 10 or so years ago when we traveled to India to document the dramatic changes taking place on the Ganges River. It was for a TV show called Now on PBS. David was the host and writer. We trekked to the source of the Ganges River, to the mouth of the Gangotri Glacier, to learn that climatologists estimate that the glacier will disappear in 50 years. That was 10 years ago. That is the source of one of the most important rivers on the planet Earth. And David, as many of you know, keeps the pulse on business innovation and the economy, politics, human rights, national security, the environment, healthcare, and science policy. In 2007, David won a national Emmy for coverage of a public health story in Kenya. And in 2009, he won a Walter Cronkite Award for excellence in television political coverage. The reason I enjoy having a conversation with David is because while he is a journalist and expert on all things related to the economy, he tells stories about people, how current events impact us as living, breathing human beings. And today he's going to explain what the economy looks like in the United States and the world, and he uses letters of the alphabet to bring it to life. So today, what's your favorite letter? V? W? U? K? Let's just find out what the heck is so inspiring about the economy from David. We'll get him on the horn and let him explain. I reached David at his home studio where he records the Marketplace Morning Report. Fantastic. So I did not listen to this morning's Marketplace Morning Report, for which you are the host and senior editor on public radio. What was your morning offerings, or should we avoid that entirely given our inability or lack of desire to go into political things?
Oh, you should have listened, man. I said happy days are here again.
Mm-hmm.
We're back to growth. Unemployment is at full employment, and we can all relax. Oh, wait, no, that was an alternate universe. That's not what I said this morning. Yeah, no, we have some challenges here as summer turns into fall, and it's taken a while to resolve them, I guess, is the main theme.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we did touch upon this briefly before we hit record, and the reason I enjoy having conversations with you is, one, you're a journalist of integrity who believes strongly in the accuracy of fact and telling the story as best as you can. And there's a lot of, I'm not trying to wade into this conversation. There's a lot of divisiveness in the world today, and people are not quick to believe even the true things. But one thing that people at least are taking note of is the economy. We spoke in April, back in April, our first time. And you talked about restaurants, for instance, and how the potential for more than 75% of restaurants may not survive this. So let's take restaurants, for instance. How are we doing if we use restaurants as a kind of a thermometer?
Well, I'll answer that in a different way, because there's new data this very morning that you and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know the app, I don't know if you use it, it's called Yelp, Y-E-L-P.
Sure, yeah.
And it's location aware, so... Mm-hmm. You know, if you show up in your town and you're like, where do I get coffee? Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, where do I find a pharmacy? You put it in, it tells you where the near ones are. And it is aware of which of the businesses listed on Yelp are open or closed, or, you know, essentially shut, because it knows the normal hours or businesses can list being closed. So mm-hmm. the data today is that of all the businesses on Yelp's site that had to close because of pandemic, presumably, they now can tell you that 60% are closing permanently. Okay, so it's more than half.
Wow.
So you got to believe that's a lot of restaurants. It's not only restaurants, it's coffee shops, but it's, you know, a lot of places that you, it could be smaller stores, boutiques. I'm not sure you use Yelp necessarily to go find out whether or not you, you know, where the local Walmart is. Mm-hmm. You kind of know that already, and there are other means to do so. Yeah. So we're talking about, you know, that kind of place, smaller places, and lots of restaurants. So that is pretty bleak. And that's one of the major themes of the economy right now, which was we had a couple of rounds of stimulus from the federal government. Mm-hmm. We had the $1,200 checks that went out to some people. Mm-hmm. We had the extra unemployment money that the federal government gave out to supplement what people would get at the state. Mm-hmm. Also, the federal government was supplementing a new category of workers. Right, Tom? There was, you know, gig economy workers, self-employed could get pieces of that. And right now, Democrats and Republicans in Washington are at loggerheads over all this, and they can't seem to agree on a path forward. I have to believe before the election there'll be something. Larry Kudlow, who's the president's chief economic advisor, said a little over a week ago that the economy is recovering pretty well, and that, I mean, his implication was that the economy could do without more spending from the federal government by way of stimulus. That isn't what most economists are telling me. Most economists are expecting another stimulus. They think the economy very much needs it to put money in our pockets so we can keep this thing going.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. I never expected to receive the stimulus check. And for some reason, I figured, well, I work for myself and things have been slow, so of course I'm not going to get it. Came home, what was in the mail? Lo and behold, I got it. Paid for housing and food and everything. But I was so excited. I thought, wow.
I'll tell you, you know, I have a way of judging the economy. You go down, I'm talking to you from northern New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And you can go down to a local food bank here, and there are lines. There are lines. People are, you know, we have polls that Marketplace does, scientific polls that show that food insecurity is, you know, running, of course, higher. And you'd think modern America, you know, but with even without pandemic, there was food insecurity, and now there's more. But as we talk about the economy, we need to do, it sounds like Sesame Street, but we need to look at three different letters, maybe more, four letters, but three gets us started. So at the beginning of the pandemic, all these geniuses that I talk to on the radio are all telling me about the V-shaped recovery. V is in victory. Mm. So you think about the letter V, it goes down quite sharply, then it pops up equally sharply. And that's what a lot of people were hoping and expecting would happen, that there'd be this shutdown, control, outbreaks, and people, things, the economy would reopen. And, you know, people were aware we didn't have a vaccine yet, but that it would be pretty short-lived, which is the correct pronunciation, apparently. And we haven't seen the V. So actually, we need four letters, because some people are talking about the W-shaped economy, right, where it goes down, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up. So there was a, you know, signs of recovery in May into June. But now that stimulus money has run out again.
Yeah.
And so people are concerned. We'll see what happens. Maybe the economy moves forward. So W. U was typically the other side. Letter U, as in union, was the letter that people who didn't believe in the V thought, which is you come down and you kind of rattle along the bottom for too long with the economy in a bad state, and then eventually you come back the other end. But here's the one I wanted to highlight, because it's some new thinking on this, and I think it's has some merit.
Yeah.
The K-shaped economy, the K-shaped recovery, I should say. K is in kilo. So you think about the letter K. Are you ever visualizing that?
Yeah.
So you have, you know, I don't even know what the first vertical is in that, in this analogy, but you have a leg that goes down sharply on a K. And that's people who lost their jobs and thought maybe through the payroll protection program, as soon as those businesses could reopen, they'd get the jobs back. Some of them are going back. Some of them are not.
Yeah.
Some of those businesses are closing, as I mentioned from the Yelp stuff.
Yeah.
People who are already at the margins, people who are also really having trouble before pandemic, this is not getting easier for people. So you have this chunk of the economy, not a small one, lots of people that are really in bad shape. And, we have moratorium on evictions, at least for now, from apartments. But, you also have to think about the property owners, the landlords.
Yeah.
They have to pay the note on the building in many cases. So what's going to happen? So, all right, K-shaped recovery. There is on a K, besides that leg down, a leg up. And that's people with assets, and especially people who have money in the stock market,
mm-hmm.
or people who were lucky enough to have the kind of jobs you could do from home, yet their expenses fell because they didn't have commuting expenses. They could, eat a peanut butter sandwich from the fridge and not pay highway tolls. You probably don't know what those are, being in New Hampshire there, but they're a thing other places. I figured out, Tom, that just tolls, not parking, not gas, my tolls just to deal with work, typically, when I go into New York City, $271 a month.
What?
I mean, that's like rent for a lot of people, right?
Whoa.
So, I saved $271, because I'm doing my show from, an undisclosed location that looks very much like my basement.
Yeah.
Some people are doing well.
Yeah.
And so, I just started to see the first predictions about the holiday shopping season. There still are holidays, even in this wretched 2020. And Deloitte, the consulting firm, estimates that holiday sales in 2020 will be up compared to a year earlier. Just a little, like 1% or 1.5%. Why? Because the people doing well are going to slightly offset so many people who are doing poorly. I mean, among people doing poorly, right, is if the kid's school isn't open, one of the parents has to supervise. Hmm. Sometimes they have jobs that can accommodate that. Many times it's the type of job that doesn't accommodate that or just drives you crazy to try to do both at the same time.
Right.
And, it's very, very hard for people. But on this issue of spending, one economist was, it made a lot of sense to me, right? So you're not going to take a big trip on a plane, many people are not, this holiday season.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like the year that many people are going to opt for that. Look what's happening to the airlines.
Yeah, right.
But they may, people who have the money may opt for, instead of experiences, which I prefer, I know you prefer, but they may opt for, well, this has been a crummy year, at least maybe I can send someone a nice present.
Uh-huh.
And so there may be some shopping for stuff. Now, I don't know. Are they going to shop for clothes? People aren't really buying the clothes they were because you don't have to dress up for work.
Mm.
But that's the prediction anyway. But it's very hard for people, right? The idea that a big chunk of the world is somehow in the midst of all this thriving when so many people have ended up with the short end of the stick. We haven't even talked about the pandemic overlay to this, the fact that, we've just been talking about the economy and income, but also the virus is treating people unfairly, disproportionately affecting people of color, for instance, disproportionately affecting people who have those jobs deemed essential. So they have to go into work and they're right there in the line of fire for the virus. So it's a very complicated time. And my grandmother used to say this one syllable word. She'd say feh, and that meant good riddance, feh. And there's a piece of me that wants to say that about 2020, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we have, the elephant in the room is we have an election coming up very soon. And so do you find that, is everything going to change after November 3rd? Are people waiting or are they trying to be optimistic or are they pessimistic? Like, so how typically, I should ask, really, does an election impact an economy this close to it, especially given the challenges that we're experiencing with COVID and a really tumultuous kind of economy, K-shape, U-shape, V, W, yeah. Whatever.
I mean, it's hard. You, what do these executives call it? They call it visibility, and they mean visibility into the future. What, you know, what can you... Can you make, to what degree can you make educated guesses about what's to come? And COVID, it's really hard. You know, are there going to be second and third waves? How big are they going to be? What is the death rate going to be? It's very hard to tell. You know, this talk of vaccines, plural, soon-ish, you know, a government report that came out on today, the day you and I are talking, that sketches out the plan for distributing the vaccine, which is a global challenge that will take years. It won't take years in this country. But that talked about January. You know, there's some talk that there might be some vaccine available earlier. But they're going to triage that. They're going to have to ration it at first. There's not going to be, like, enough vaccine for everybody. So at first, it's going to be people right in the line of fire, first responders, healthcare workers, and so forth. But at some point, you're going to have to get teachers in there. And then you're going to have to, you know, and especially vulnerable people for medical conditions and so forth, and then everybody else. So that's uncertainty. And then you have the question you asked, uncertainty about the election. I don't know. I see polls, but polls can be wrong. But you also have a reasonable question about whether or not we're going to resolve the election on election night, because of, you know, we have these states that have a poor track record in counting up the ballots. And there's, you know, a lot of questions about that. But, you know, by the, at some point when the election is resolved, hopefully close to election day, if not election night, that is going to remove some uncertainty. Whether or not someone listening here likes the outcome or doesn't like the outcome, it should resolve some uncertainty. And when you start getting vaccines on board, that's going to bring a little bit more certainty. I mean, look, you're all reading these articles from experts saying, you know, the vaccine's not going to cure everything and it's going to take a long time and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but once you have a vaccine that works for at least a little while, you know, you might be able to go into work. You might be able to take a plane flight. And so things will change when that comes on board. But if something runs aground on some of these vaccine trials, you know, you could see, or there's more, the waves are longer and deeper than we, you know, we'd like to see no more waves, of course. Then people are going to defer big decisions. You know, it could be business expansion decisions. But economic activity has not dried up. I mean, I'm talking to you on the day that Snowflake is the biggest launch of a new stock, a tech stock this year. And they do data storage or something. But they, you know, it's there's a lot of businesses that there's a lot of business that is happening. But look, Tom, I mean, I don't know if your listeners know this about you. Do they know this about you? I mean, you're very well traveled, right? You go around the world.
I would imagine if they listen to more than one or two, they would know, because I always throw in the, you know, travel
story. So you know this better than others. The vaccine question, distributing the vaccine, is a global issue. Some say if it was a kind of Manhattan Project to develop vaccines this quickly for COVID, it is a whole other Manhattan Project to get it distributed. So I've been talking to some healthcare experts on the air about this, and it's really interesting because unless you wipe it out everywhere, you can wipe it out nowhere, is what the experts say.
Yeah.
And, okay, you know, you've been to villages in northern India and in Nepal. You have to have a vaccine that works there. So the first vaccines that you and I might get in this country, you know, could work if they can make it safe and effective. But that may not be the best vaccine for over there, because if a vaccine has to be transported at minus 80 degrees Fahrenheit, yeah, really, that's going to happen, you know, all the way through the chain. If you have to have medical experts doing the administration of the shot, if you have to have one of those inoculation guns, you know, that requires power, that's not going to work. You need, you know, room temperature stable vaccine, And you need to create this vast army of people to get it to people, because if there's still clusters hither and yon, different parts of the country and the world, all it takes is a plane flight to cause, you know, other outbreaks and so forth. So it's a very interesting question. We're doing a series about it called Fast Track. It's also a question of ethics and fairness, even in this country. You know, I mean, remember how NBA players were among the athletes that got COVID tests when they hard to get?
Yeah. People weren't happy.
I'm not judging, but I'm just saying, is that really how we want to do this, the vaccine stuff? And so smart people have been thinking about ways to approach this, but one hopes it can be done in an organized and professional way.
Yeah, wow. That's actually, it's interesting you brought up the NBA thing, because I'm a big fan, so are my kids, and watching the games. And it's such an interesting study, a case study of this going into the bubble and all these people behaving, so to speak, to not, you know, go out of the bubble. And if they do, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, right there alone is a futuristic book almost. And for what? Just so people can watch TV and be entertained by sports, and money can be transpired and bet at in Las Vegas or whatever. And so somebody can be handed an NBA crown, which is really... I love sports, but it's absurd. But it's such an interesting time too. You were mentioning about one that 60% of the restaurants, it appear at least via Yelp, to not exist.
Yeah, not just restaurants, but things up, but businesses on Yelp in general.
Businesses on
a lot
Yelp.
Of restaurants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so I live, as you know, in a touristy area, and in Mount Washington Valley of New Hampshire. And this place has been overrun by more tourism than I have ever seen in my entire life. It is it's almost chaos here. And heaven forbid you are someone on a budget who wants to buy a house at the regular cost. There are people battling for homes that go on the market. And a friend of mine who's been on this show before, he owns a tavern in Jackson, and he did not a scientific poll, but for several weeks through the summer, he asked every single guest, had they ever visited the restaurant or town where it was in Jackson, New Hampshire. And he said 80% of the people, or thereabouts, and the vast majority of that 80% had never even been to New Hampshire. So go figure, they all wanted to come to the Mount Washington Valley. So some people are benefiting. I mean, you want to do takeout and you're a local on a Saturday night around here? Forget it. Don't even bother. It's madness.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so they're not just tourists, because if there's upward pressure on real estate, right, these are some people who want to move in.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, the school, there's a higher... I have a friend who's a teacher at the middle school in town. There are at least a dozen kids from Massachusetts who now are enrolled in the schools up here, and because their parents are now doing online work, and they just said, screw it, let's move up to New Hampshire. So things are changing fast.
It's really interesting. I mean, I was just in the place where Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York come together. You know, it's the Berkshires over there, that little point. I was doing some bike riding up there. No, I was not going up to stay and not moving to reassure those people up in the Berkshires. But they're seeing all this pressure, too, as people flee the city. You know, because the phrase in the 90s, when the internet was young, was the death of distance, right? You can do what you have to do remotely. But before, you had to go into the office. Now, as people leave, and it's causing some really interesting growth issues. Real estate has been benefiting from this, but also zero interest rates, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you get a mortgage super cheap now. You can't get it for zero, but you know, they're based on zero interest rates.
Pretty close.
But if you have someone who's older listening to this podcast, who might have saved and hoping to get some kind of return on their bonds, it's harder, you know, when the Fed keeps interest rates low. As you and I are talking, I'm looking at the clock, and in an hour or so, we're going to get the last assessment of the U.S. economy from the Federal Reserve. prior to the election. And it's not going to be a big shocker. They're not going to change interest rates. Mm. I assume that the head guy over there, Jay Powell, is going to say something about we need more stimulus from Congress. But, you know, they tend to stay out of politics for the next couple of months. And in fact, their next meeting actually is on Election Day, once you've already pretty much they start the meeting, but they don't report back till the day after the election. So if they find out some grim or happy news, they're not going to tell anybody for the next couple of months.
So let's wrap this up if we can. I'm an optimist, glass half full guy, and that gets me into trouble sometimes because you know I sometimes go for things that when I should have been more conservative. So actually I'm not going to just say, hey, what's good about the future, but is there any bright spot that you see and maybe a word of advice for people? Should we be hanging on tight to our money, not moving it around? What's the next, I don't know, give me the next few months economy wise.
Well, let's just hope that the vaccine works and is safe. It's, you know, they're trying several ones. You know, there are people who don't want to take the vaccine. There are people who generally can't stand vaccines. But there's also people who worry because, in part, the president has been suggesting that he wants this fast-track approval process, perhaps, ahead of the election. You know, is it going to be safe if there might be political pressure on that process? The pharmaceutical companies went out of their way to say, no, we're not going to pay attention to politics. But if we can get that, things do start to change. But, you know, what do we hold on to? Someone asked me a nice question the other day. They said, tell me one nice thing that's happened to you in the last week. Because, you know, some people are a little down. It's hard. I don't see I have kids in their, who are adults now, and I don't get to see them. I don't know if I can see them for 6 months or a year because they live in different parts of the country and, too far to drive. So there's a lot of things to be worried about. But so I said, all right, last week, what can I tell you? Oh, a buddy of mine had a fire pit. And I made the perfect s'more. I didn't set the marshmallow on fire, and it was perfect. And the thing about a s'more is, it's not like a Lay's potato chip. All you do need is one. You only, one s'more is all you need.
Yeah.
You look for the smaller things.
Yeah.
And there are really interesting new business models that are emerging. And did I love the commute into New York City every day? It was great in the morning at 4 a.m. when I went in. It sometimes took me 2 hours to get home in the afternoon. And so, you know, you see that maybe you can do the work that you got to get done and still see your spouse once in a while.
Yeah,
you're not constantly
have
away.
A life.
But, you know, we are closer to the resolution of this COVID thing than we were yesterday and than we were in April. There are, you know, surprising number of people went out to eat socially distanced during the summer. It's going to be harder in colder climes when it gets chillier. But, you know, I was joking with someone, maybe I should invest in those propane heat lamps, and that's got to be a good business
or
model
tents.
Right now.
Yeah.
But then there are some things that are going to take a long time to come back. And you and I know a lot of performers, you know, music people, theater people. And that's, you know, some of them have been teaching classes online and doing performances online for money. That is a model. But, you know, they opened up the theaters and Christopher Nolan's Tenet did really well. But it's not filling the theaters. It's not popping back the way that the movie industry had hoped. People are like, cost-benefit analysis of going out to the movies, and they're making a calculation that the film industry is still concerned about.
Right.
Does it suddenly all come roaring back? I don't know. Sometimes you fall out of a habit, and we don't just go back to what we did before. But, you know, it's an innovative country, and, you know, if we can stay healthy, which, you know, is a question for many
people.
Yeah,
that's the biggie.
You know, there's going to be a lot of new opportunities ahead, I think.
there is some good things happening out there. There's no doubt, and people, you know, it is changing the way the world goes round. But yeah, my life is different. I work out of my house anyway, but I sure as heck haven't traveled anywhere lately. So, other than to my fire pit, and that's it. So before I let you go, what is, at least in your estimation, the perfect s'more? Yeah. How do you do it?
You know, I don't know. One time we bought these hoity-toity artisanal mushrooms. That's not going to work for a s'more.
That's it.
Hoity-toity artisanal marshmallows. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, this is going to make the best s'more in the world. Yeah. And I couldn't stand it. It was super lame. That's not what a s'more is about. And you know, you do it the old-fashioned way. You do use Hershey's chocolate. Like, what's the paraffin? I always wonder what the paraffin wax content is of Hershey's chocolate. But it's perfect for your s'more. You got to have the graham cracker. In fact, I was in an Italian restaurant. You know, I got this Italian last name. My father's family is Italian. Yeah. And we went into a fancy restaurant. And my great aunt asked for tiramisu, right? This Italian nice dessert. And the waiter gives her attitude. And he says, oh, we don't have tiramisu. Like, that's not a crazy question
not
in an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, just say so.
Yeah.
So what do you have? We looked at him like, pal. And he says, we have a fine graham brittle cake with a spun sugar, you know, mélange, upon which we have chocolate truffle bits, and it's all melted. And then the table paused for a second, and then all of us went, you got s'mores? Oh, we'll take a s'more. And that fixed that guy with his attitude. But yeah, no, listen, I can't see my friends as much as I normally do.
Yeah.
I can't see my family as much as I normally do. So I've been over by the Marketplace home studio. I've been making beer.
Mm.
And the other thing that I do is, you may remember as a little kid, many people did model rockets.
Yeah, you're a model rocket guy.
And I did that with my kids. I don't just do model rockets. I do high-powered ones. And the monster ones.
Big guy went off.
Yeah, and so I enjoy building these things, and you take safety precautions, and you don't hurt anybody. And here's the thing. It's something we're maybe losing sight of in this country in our mistrust of science. But when you shoot up a rocket, the thing about that is gravity is not just a suggestion. It's the law. And it does. Whatever happens is, if it goes up, it comes down. That's the one predictable part of that ridiculous hobby.
Ah, yeah. Well, we're hoping that the economy doesn't go up and come back down. So maybe that will defy some of the gravity. But
I'm doing my part.
Yeah, you're doing a darn good job. Well, Dave, I really appreciate it. It's always really good talking to you. And I would love to request that maybe after the election, give it a month or so. Let's check back in and see how the businesses on Yelp are doing, and how the economy is doing, and how your model rocket and s'more making is going too.
Yeah, listen, we'll catch up. That'll be great, Tom.
It'd be great. Fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's always fun talking.
You bet.
All right, brother. The perfect s'more. I agree, you can't let the marshmallow catch on fire. It has to be the most perfect brown, melted on the inside. So when it breaks onto the Hershey chocolate bar, the chocolate softens, almost melts, and then crunch. Mmm. I can taste it now. If you want to learn more about David Brancaccio, you can visit his website at brancaccio.com. That's brancaccio.com. Or just as good, if not better, find his Marketplace Morning Report at marketplace.org. And in the top bar, you can look where it says Shows. Click on that, drag down to Marketplace Morning Report, and you will be able to hear his buttery smooth voice. Oh, or should I say his s'more-like voice. If what you've heard pleases you today, please share this episode or everything on Baker Street with Tom Pollard far and wide. Share it with your friends and family on social media, and please reach out to me. Go to eyesopenproductions.com, click on the contact button, and you can find my email there, tom.dharma.pollard. Remember, we create our reality with the thoughts that we empower. Guard your thoughts, keep them positive, come from a place of love, and one person at a time, we can make a more beautiful world where people of all backgrounds can get along. Be well. Thank you for being here. I will see you real soon. If you're still here, thank you for visiting. I hope you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening, and I hope you'll also visit my Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, and take a look at my YouTube page of the same name, where there are many Everest and music-related episodes, as well as adventure content and interview snippets that can't be found here on the podcast. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll share this, leave me a review, a rating, and come back soon.